Segus aguaigo, galihio go siangiat, ganyaka haga niwa go honjodo akuzasnit yidilo. Sego, hello, my name is Gala Hugos, but most people know me by my English name, Sarah Cook. I am Mohawk from Akwesasne. I am a fifth-year undergraduate student at the University of Ottawa studying psychology and Indigenous studies. My future goal is to become a psychotherapist and obtain a career in mental health counseling, working with Indigenous populations. I was tasked with creating a project on the topic of my choosing, and with my career goal in mind, I chose to focus on traditional healing practices of Indigenous peoples, as this is something extremely important not only in my everyday life, but also in my future line of work. I thought what better way to do this than to talk directly with traditional healers themselves and give them a space to share some of their knowledge on traditional ways of healing. When searching for who to speak to, I turned to the Haudenosaunee Everlasting Academy of Learning, also known as the Heal Lodge, located in my home community of Akwesasne. The lodge offers many services such as reading sessions, massage therapy, medicine walks, sweat lodges, ceremonial teachings, and so much more. I had the opportunity to speak with traditional healers Della Adams and Eddie Gray, who graciously agreed to talk with me and share their knowledge. Traditional knowledge keeper and healer Eddie Gray plays many roles within the community. He is known as the medicine man, in which he works with traditional medicines. He is also known for his involvement within the longhouse as a faith keeper and a Ludiane, a term used to refer to the chiefs of the longhouse. I will now invite Eddie to introduce himself.
My name is Eddie Gray. I do the medicines and the ceremonies for the community. And we've been at it for quite some time. So we're well known in the community of what we're doing here. Because this was our hope from way back, that we'd start and work on our own lodge so that we don't have any ties with the outside government. For no policies, we created our own. So everything is running the way Della has fixed it here with all the different policies that concerns traditional healing. At a young age, I was making medicines, always before. While I was iron worker in New York. So when I'd come home, people would be waiting there for me to make some medicines for the weekends, and I'd put them in jars. So people would come and pick it up and take it away for the weekend. So my time was always doing medicines besides iron worker. So that's how I got to be known in the community about the medicine part. As I was taught by an old man, medicine man, who had healing hands. So I was most of his mule, like going out through the woods and pick, and he would show me what it's for, what the name of it off, the traditional name of the plants. So I learned all of that through picking all the different herbs.
Della Adams is a traditional knowledge keeper and healer within the community. She works with traditional medicines and ceremonies and manages all of the administration work at the Heal Lodge. I will now invite Della to introduce herself.
My name is Della Adams, and like Eddie was saying that we've been working together for a lot of years, actually since 1998 or somewhere in that time frame, on a professional level. But we've been involved with the longhouse. Eddie is my neighbor, so we've known each other for a good portion of my life. Huh? And so when I came about into this area, which was not of my choosing, I realized later on how I got pulled into this traditional way of life. And because one of the things is that I was raised in a Catholic family, and we did not talk about traditionalism at all. But I did have family members that practiced their medicines. And I do know that going to my aunt's, like, we had to drink medicine and that we had no choice, right? So I was raised with that. And the other fortunate thing that I was raised with was the language, because my entire family is all speakers. And so I was raised in the language also. And so with a combination of that and going on and where I went with is that I was guided into this path. And there's been many times on that path that I tried to get jump back off and get over here, but something would happen and it would pull me back over onto this path of learning of our way of life, like not just attending ceremonies, but really understanding the intricate details of a ceremony, like why we do things, why we have certain foods, why we dance a certain way, like all of those questions I would have, like, why do we do this? And I was just fortunate to have teachers on my path that could actually help me to understand why we did things. And with all of that and learning along the way kind of led me to where I am today, right? And so we've been working with this, and this is not anything like for myself and for like what Eddie's saying, like we didn't choose this path, right? It was chosen for us. And we just kind of had to give that up at some point, right? And to understand that we have no choice in the matter of what we're doing, right? Like it, we were chosen to do this work. And so we just follow those footprints that have already been laid out for us in life, right? And so that's exactly what we've been doing, and just going along, just following what the spirit, how they guide us along, right? And so that's basically how I came into doing what I'm doing here. It's just following what the spirit has been guiding me to do, right? So I'm a mother of three children. I'm a grandmother of, let me get that number right, I believe it's eight grandchildren, and I'm a great-grandmother to one granddaughter. And so just with me, right, my line, we're five generations with my father included, right? So with that, saying that, that's hectic enough, right? Just to have that. And then to be in the longhouse a good majority of my entire life too is being inside that longhouse, attending ceremonies. And it's not just attending every now and then, right? It's trying my best to attend every ceremony that we have. And sometimes I can't, sometimes I'm sick, sometimes I have my moon time, but for the most part, is making that part of who I am. And it's not just something that we just do because it's just something to do that day, right? Mm. No, when we have ceremony set, like we make our schedule around that ceremony, right? And so like tomorrow, for an example, we have thunders and end of season going on tomorrow. So in our minds, we don't have nothing else planned except go to that ceremony and be ready for that ceremony, right? That's who we are. That's how we live our life, right? And so those are one of the things that I believe, I guess, that Creator seen that within us, right? And He gave that to us, it's just a natural part of who we are. And people think that we had to go to school for this or somebody taught us this stuff, right? We can't take that credit away from Creator. Creator gave us this. He gave us this, and it's part of our blood. It's part of who we are as individual people in this community, right? And so that's the way we live our life. And so whether we were in this field or not, this is what we'd still be doing, right?
The Heal Lodge has had great impacts on traditional healing that is felt all throughout the community. As mentioned and will be discussed more, traditional ways of healing differ significantly from modern Western ways. There are many limitations and barriers that interfere with practicing traditional ways of healing in Western systems, which is one of the main motivators for creating the lodge.
It's been a vision of ours for a lot of years. And so we worked in a governmental structured form, right? And with the traditional medicine program that's in the Gunawatsalio, and that's who brought us into this making this a professional career for us, right? But in there, it didn't take too long to realize that we don't fit. We don't fit in this environment, right? And that we needed our own lodge, because there was limitations of what we can do inside of a health facility, right? And so we started to realize that we cannot do the work that we need to do properly and precisely because of those limitations. As my years in that position, I always asked for a lodge, a place that we could be separated from the health facility so that we can conduct our ceremonies the way we needed to. And through those years of frustration, it never evolved into anything, right? Because they had a separate vision than what our vision was. And the two visions were not conducive to each other. And the other thing that I realized soon on coming on board and doing this was that we needed an apprenticeship program too. And that we needed to have somebody, an understudy with Eddie, because as Eddie had said, he was 8 years old when he started to be taught. And he didn't realize he was being taught, right? Mm-hmm. He thought he was just a helper. He's just helping out because that's what we're supposed to do, right? And he didn't realize that he was being taught about these medicines. And so when he would tell me that story, it would make me think like, we need to teach somebody like right now, right? But again, the limitations of that governmental structure didn't allow us to open that up, right? And so because one of the things that we couldn't do, being confined in that system, was burn tobacco. And one of the things in our traditional way of life, you cannot do this work without offering tobacco. That is the very first criteria you have to meet, is to burn tobacco. In this system, they limited us on that. And they eventually took that away from us to be able to do that, right? So it puts us at risk, because it's not us as human beings that are doing this work. It's the spirit world that's doing this work. And we need to offer the spirit world a gift of their tobacco, right? And so we were limited. We couldn't do that. So now we're in our lodge, and now we can burn tobacco every hour if we want to, right? There's no limits on that. The other thing that was not possible was the apprenticeship program. And I'll tell you why. Because it was contradictory to Canadian labor code. Because one of the things in our way of life is that we don't choose people to be medicine men. Or women. They're already chosen for us. Right? Like I had stated in the beginning, right? They're already chosen. So we can't run an interview process and say, oh, can you do this? Can you do this and that, right? No, they're already chosen. It's our job to find them though, right? In the mainstream world, you cannot just hand select somebody and offer them a job, right? You have to go through all of their way. And so that was very scary to us. I said, we can't do that. Because what if somebody passes the interview with flying colors, but they use drugs, they use alcohol, they use witchcraft, they abuse their women or partners, right? And this is their personal lifestyle. And we can't say nothing about that because we're in the system, right? And so that conflicted with each other. So we couldn't do that either. And so now in here, that's our goal. Hence, that's the word, that's the name of our lodge here, right? Haudenosaunee Everlasting Academy of Learning. The Academy of Learning is going to be instrumental in the future, because we have to teach people how to do this, right?
As discussed, governmental structures hold great power over traditional ways and medicines. Throughout their years working in the traditional medicine program under the Mohawk Council of Akwesasne, there were many limitations and challenges that Della and Eddie faced. They were unable to fully perform ceremonies and conduct traditional healing. Through the creation of the Heal Lodge, they are now able to stand alone and practice traditional ways of healing freely. As Della will discuss next, it is our right as Indigenous peoples to practice our culture and traditions without the influence and control of institutions and systems.
We recognize that being in that governmental structure, they had their strings attached to us, right? And we didn't like that, because one of the things that we recognize is that when you talk about inherent rights, this is inherent rights to Ogwehuwe people, right? This doesn't belong in that kind of structure. It's not theirs. They don't have no ownership over our medicinal knowledge, our ceremonial knowledge, our spiritual knowledge. They don't have no ownership over that. And so we need to pull away from that. And so working in that system gave them ownership of our knowledge, right? And so we were not comfortable with that at all. And so when we decided to do this, we said we're gonna do this as a standalone. We're not gonna be funded from any government because we don't want them to have a hold over us and for them to tell us what we can and can't do. This is our knowledge. And so we are mandated to safeguard that knowledge and protect it, right? And so that became the motivation behind doing what we're doing today.
When discussing Indigenous knowledge and culture, we need to be mindful about what we share. As Della stated, we need to safeguard our traditional knowledge and ways. Safeguarding our traditional knowledge doesn't mean that we cannot share anything regarding our culture. Traditions and teachings that can be shared include the Gayanologoa, the Great Law of Peace, which is a foundational teaching of all Haudenosaunee culture. It guides us throughout all aspects of our lives and provides instructions on how to live a good and purposeful life.
What we should share with the rest of the world and what's already been established for us is what we refer to as the Gayanologoa, which is the Great Law of Peace, right? And even in that, they say those four roots go to the corners of Turtle Island, right? Mm-hmm. And that anybody that wants to follow this way of life is more than welcome to it, right? Mm-hmm. And all they got to do is follow those roots back to the tree. And so that's already established for us. So it's not up to us to say, no, you can't come here.
Yeah.
We can't do that. Peacemaker has already laid that out for us, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the things, the principles, the three principles of the Gayanologoa, right? Peace, power, and righteousness. Every human being should be following that way of life, right? Because that is part of our original instructions too. When they created, in our creation story, when they talk about creating human being, is that when he got done creating the man and the woman, he already instructed them. And what we call that is, we refer to that as our original instructions. And in that, he told us that this is the way we are going to conduct ourselves as human beings, is that the very first thing is we're going to love each other. And love each other doesn't mean we're going to be in romantic relationships. It means we're going to care for each other and we're going to help each other, right? And in that recital, when we talk about that, it doesn't say you're only going to care for your own family or you're only going to care for your own race of people. It doesn't specify that. It says you're going to care for all human beings, right? You're going to love all of my children. That's what it talks about in there. And the second thing is you're going to be grateful for everything that I have given you, because you lack for nothing, right? And so every day I want you to give thanks, and I want you to remind yourself of everything that you've been given for your pure enjoyment, right? You have no responsibility to that except to enjoy what I've given you. And so those are the two original instructions for every race of people. Every human being on this planet has those instructions. For Ungwehunwe people, we have one more. The other races have one more, but I don't know what their third one is. All I know is, because that's all I study, is Ungwehunwe culture, right? So the third thing that we've been given is that we are given the responsibility of being the caretaker of our mother, the earth, right? That is our responsibility as Ungwehunwe people. Not just as Mohawk people or Haudenosaunee people, the entire race of Ungwehunwe people, that becomes their responsibility to take care of her, right? And so those are the things that a lot of the population has forgotten, and they need to be reminded of that. And so anytime we talk about our teachings, that is in there. Somewheres it's in there, right? That this is the way we're supposed to be. And so if we don't remind the people forget. Because one of the things we also know, that every human being has been given a defect. They're not perfect human beings, right? And it's like that for a reason. And so one of the things, though, one defect that every human being has been given and we share in common with each other is forgetfulness, right? It doesn't matter how photographic a memory is that people have, they will still forget. And so because we have given that defect, our whole structure, our ceremonial structure, is based on reminders. Remind you, tomorrow we got to give thanks to the thunders for doing the work that they did for us, that they brought all of this new fresh water for our enjoyment, right? Mm-hmm. They did that for us. So give thanks to them. You know, and if we weren't reminded of that, next thing you know, it'd be January, and we'd say, oh, shoot, I forgot to give thanks, right? Yeah. So that's human nature, so we understand that. And so does Sugwandizo. He understands that, too. That's why he created us, right? So he knows us, and he knows that we're going to forget. So everything about the way our way of life is structured is to remind us to love each other, to be grateful, and to take care of our mother. All ceremonies are designed in that way to remind us of our responsibility. And then when we become responsible to remind other people, like our families. Because when he created that first man and woman, he also told them, now it's your responsibility to teach your children. Because between the two of you, you're going to make more little human beings. Because I gave woman that gift of procreation, right? So it's going to be your responsibility now to teach them about these instructions. And then they're going to have little children. And you have to teach them too. And on, right? So there's a lot of our teachings that is universal and needs to be put out there to try to make this planet a better place to live, right? And so what happens, though, I find in the modern world, is that we get afraid of sharing these teachings because they might steal these teachings from us. Somebody might make money off of these teachings, right? But these are one of the things, it's not even ours to hoard either. It doesn't belong to us. This was already set. And so a lot of the things that we even teach in here, these are ancestral teachings. We didn't create these teachings. All we do is remind the people of these teachings. These teachings were already here. Sky Woman brought some of those teachings. Peacemaker brought some of those teachings. Skunna DeLeo brought some of those teachings, right?
Yep.
And so we have to look at that. And those are the things that we can share. Those are what we can talk about in public, right? And give those and remind the people, these are the reasons why we do thunder ceremony. This is the reason why we need to listen to the Galihuio recital. This is the reason why we need to listen to Gainlet Goa, because we need to remind ourselves of the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves as human beings, right? not just as unkwehume people, as human beings. This is the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves. So those are the things that can get shared, right? Our concepts, our philosophies, our instructions, all of that stuff, the principles.
As discussed by Della, there are many aspects of our culture that have been and can be shared to those outside of the Confederacy. However, there are certain cultural traditions that we must protect the sanctity of and are unable to share.
But what can't be shared is when we start to get into medicine. There's certain medicines that we can't share. And again, it's already been laid out for us. And an example of that is our medicine societies. Because they tell us that. There's a lot of power behind that. Even just to listen to the songs or to listen to the words, it can pull people in. And you don't want to pull people into a responsibility that they don't really need at this point, right? And so they say that you only share that information with a fellow medicine society member. Mm-hmm. So if me and Eddie belong to the same medicine, then we could talk about it with each other. If you don't belong, I can't talk about it with you, right? I can only talk about it with somebody else that's in that society. So those kinds of things can't be shared. We can't talk about those things in public. And we have to really be very particular on who we talk to about those things, right? And so it's things like that, that ceremonial knowledge, the songs, the language that goes with it, the tobacco burnings. Those are very, they call it sacred, but again, I don't really like using that word either, because when you say something sacred, it's almost like it puts it above something else, right? And but for lack of better words, they call it secret. It's a secret society, but it's not secret where you can't know about it, but it's secret as far as if you end up belonging to the same medicine as us, then we can talk to you about it, right? So it's no longer a secret between me and you anymore, because now you're going to become part of that medicine with us, right? So you see, in the English language, it distorts the true meaning of what it means, right? Mm-hmm. And so those are the things we can't share. And those are the things that we safeguard. But Thanksgiving address. What's so harmful about teaching people how to be grateful? There's no harm. It actually is good for humankind, right? And so these are the teachings that we can talk about. And so there's a lot of our teachings that we can talk about. Mm-hmm. But there's only a limited on what we can't talk about.
The only way you can get into it is like a seer. Will see something that your spirit needs, this type of healing, then he opens that door to you for that privacy part that we belong to. So now you are invited in that area, but it's gonna heal you. So you can't talk about it with people that are outside the societies. Only that's how he opens the door for you. For healing purposes. So a lot of stuff goes on besides that, like the tobacco burning, the sounds, which is the healing area that we can't share, but unless you belong to it or going to belong to it. So that's a beneficial part for you. That's how you come into that area. So a lot of these different ceremonies are like that. Like if there's a lot of corruption in your life, then you have other stuff that's breaking your spirit. So that's another area that you can talk about, but it's a ceremony also. So there's a lot of ways that we can talk about different stuff that we can't share if you're not a member, yeah. But all Oguahua is welcome at the ceremonial time, because those times that we have at a meeting, like this thunder ceremonies, is that where you can participate in honor with that tobacco and put it in, went to the tobacco burner, and then you're covered to give thanks.
One of our most important teachings is the Ohondagaliwa Dakwa, also known as the Thanksgiving Address. It highlights the importance of giving thanks, being grateful, and expressing our gratitude to all of our natural, environmental, and spiritual elements. As Della will touch more upon, if we do not continue to acknowledge the elements and give thanks, we will begin to lose them. She will also discuss how important it is to reflect on these teachings and to be mindful of what they are symbolizing. Della explains that this is why most of our teachings are transmitted orally. We need to think about what we are being taught and why. The importance of oral transmission of knowledge within our culture is one of the reasons why I chose to complete this project. Hearing this knowledge from traditional healers and knowledge keepers holds more weight and significance. For myself, I felt more empowered and found that I was able to grasp a greater understanding of the information being shared with me, and I hope that those feelings carry on to those listening.
It's actually very powerful. And I find, like, even in today's world, I find a lot of people will skip that part. Because what I've heard from a lot of people is that, oh, I heard that before, I don't need to hear it again. But that's not the point. The entire point to that Thanksgiving is for you to take that moment in your life. Because everybody's lifestyle gets pretty busy and hectic, right? And like I said, then we forget. It's in that moment that we're reminded, okay, stop. Stop all of the noise that's going on in your head and just give thanks. Give thanks to the berries that you were able to eat them this summer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The strawberries, the raspberries, the blueberries, the black, all those berries that you love to eat. And they taste so good when they get into the palate of your mouth, right? Like, give thanks to that. And the medicine that it gives to you, it cleans your blood for you. Give thanks for that, right?
Mm.
And then you go on to the waters. How good was it to drink that cold glass of water when it's 90 degrees and the sun is beaming down on you, right? And you're sweating.
Yeah.
Or how good does it feel in the morning when that water cleanses your body of all of that soil and dirt that it collected during the day, right? How good that feels. Give thanks to that. Give thanks to the birds that they're still here and singing for you, and that you still have the ability to even hear their songs because you're not a deaf person today, right? Give thanks for that. And on and on and on, right? And these are one of the things that we look at as that one of our teachings is that When I do my teachings, I always put it into a human relationship because that's what human beings are most familiar with, right? Is a relationship as a human to another human. They don't really understand a relationship between a human being and a bear, or a human being and a tree, or a human being and your garden. They don't understand that too well. So I always put my examples from human to human, right? And so just imagine how you would feel if I asked you to come and work for me and say, Sarah, could you come and clean my house, right? And you're living in Syracuse, and you come all the way down here because you're still carrying some of that love, right, from our original instructions. You say, yeah, Della, I can come and help you. And then you get into your car. You fill up your tank, which today could cost you about $100, right? You fill up your tank, you drive all the way over here. That's going to be a 3 to 4 hour drive, right? You get here, you get to my house, you say, okay, Del, I'm here to help you. I'm like, good. All right, start helping me. And you start, and then I walk away from you, and you start looking like, okay, what am I helping you with? Like, you didn't even tell me what I'm going to help you with, right? So because, again, you're carrying that love and that compassion and that kindness, well, you just start looking around my house while, well, maybe she wanted me to do dishes, right? So you go and do dishes. And then you're like, well, maybe that's not what she wants. Maybe she wanted me to mop her floors, right? So you start sweeping, then you start mopping my floors, right? then you're thinking, oh, maybe that, I don't know if that's what she wanted. Well, maybe she wanted me to cut wood. I see a pile of wood outside, right? Maybe she wanted me to cut that and stack it for her, right? But you're just guessing at what it is that you want me, that I want you to do. Anyways, 8 hours later, like, you're tired now, right? And like, oh, man, I got to go home, so you come and find me. Della, I got to go home now. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Now off you go, right? Then you get into your car. You're tired. You've been working physical labor for 8 hours. Now you got to drive all the way back to Syracuse. Now you got to put gas back in your car, right? And so, but as you're driving back home, you start to think about, you know what? She didn't even tell me how to help her. She didn't give me no instructions on what I'm supposed to do. I don't even know if I helped her or not, right? Then you think, boy, she didn't even offer me a glass of water. Lunchtime came and went. She didn't even feed me anything. And then when I told her I had to leave, she didn't even thank me for what I did for her. So how would you feel as you're driving home, right? That's how the rest of creation feels when we ignore them like that. Mm. And that's the relationship. That's what Gainlekoa teaches us. How to maintain that relationship with all of creation. Not just with human beings. With all of creation. That's the way we're supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Right? And that is what Thanksgiving teaches us. But because people don't open up their mind to that, there's a saying that your mind will only work when it's open, right? Like a parachute. And so when you don't open your mind to what is the real reason to why we're doing this, this is not just a... And what I feel is we've been so influenced from the church that they say these prayers and it's the same thing over and over and over again. And your only job at the end of that is to say amen, right? That's the only thing you need to learn in all of that. Well, that's where the way our ways are getting to. Our ways are getting like that, so lost, and people are becoming so forgetful that they don't even answer anymore either. You'll get a few huh or toll in the group, but not everybody is answering. So that, to me, when I look back at that, I'm like, huh, are they not grateful for what we've been given? Or are they, have they forgotten what the sun does for us? What the moon does for us? What the stars does for us? Have they forgotten that? What the water does for us, right? You imagine going one day without the sun? We felt it with the eclipse. It was 2 minutes.
Yep.
2 minutes we felt it. That was our reminder to know exactly the what kind of power that sun has. That was our reminder.
Yeah. It and got people, cold real fast as soon as it went down.
And
wow.
The energy was totally different, right? Yeah. That's our human reminder. To say, if the sun went away, this is what you're going to get.
Freeze.
Yeah. So, are we thankful that the sun wakes up every morning? Even though the, how many? 7 billion people have forgotten what it does for us? Well, that 7 billion people is going to remember real fast if the sun decided not to wake up that day, right? Because they tell us that too. In that Ohanda Galiwadekwa, they remind us. They all have the opportunity to go back to Creator's land too. Just like you, right? And if I kept treating you like that, what's going to happen eventually is you're going to quit on me, right? So is the rest of creation. If we don't continue to appreciate what they do for us and actually verbalize and say, yes, I am thankful that you still do this work, they're going to quit on us too, and they're going to go back to Creator's land. And there's a lot in our history where it will show you. There's physical evidence where it will show you that they went back. And so we don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. We can't want the thunders to continue coming to refresh our waters, to keep those beings down that he's talking about. Because can you imagine if those beings came up to the surface? They already are, if you watch those history or National Geographic, yeah. Right? And all of these sightings of these animals that they have no idea, that's those beings that are underground. They're slowly making their way up to surface, mm-hmm. Right? So imagine if all of those came back up and if the thunders quit doing their work. So these are the things we have to think about, right? And it's not just surface stuff. And that's what I talked about when I had the opportunity to get really intimate with our teachings and really understand it and get a grasp of what does that really mean, because all of our teachings is symbolic and it's meant to be like that, so you will use your mind to think. And that's why nothing is written down. It's oral history, because you need to use your own mind to think about what they're saying. What does that really mean when they talk about those white roots of peace? What does that mean? Does that mean, oh, geez, those roots must be, that must be a really big tree, right? If those roots could reach to the four corners of Turtle Island? No, that's not what that means at all, right? So you have to use your mind to think, because our ancestors said that. They said this is going to be the detriment to our teachings, is that when we start writing things down, we don't have to use our mind anymore. Now, we wrote it on a paper. We don't need to remember this because I got it written down.
Yeah.
Well, now it evolved into computers and and telephones and recorders, right? So we really don't have to use our mind.
One important concept I wanted to highlight is the difference between indigenous traditional medicinal ways and the Western medical system. We can see that indigenous healing and medicine is strongly connected to environmental and spiritual elements. Western approaches to healing and medicines differ significantly and tend to focus on a specified problem, whereas indigenous ways of healing focus on balancing the mind, body, and spirit. Della and Eddie will discuss more on the process and how traditional healing and medicine works.
And so there's a huge difference between our worlds, right? And so one world is created to make you dependent on their system. Our world is created to empower you to be able to survive in this world, right? So there's huge difference between the concepts, the philosophies, and how they design everything in this world. The medicines, they make those medications, they make you dependent on insulin. They make you dependent. You have to take this pill for the rest of your life. In our world, we say, no, you don't have to. You don't have to take those pills for the rest of your life. But these are the things you have to do to get your body healthy again. That's the difference, right? And so that we don't create a dependency. And that's one of the things with the lodge. That's my mantra, right? We need to empower people, not enable. And we spent too many years enabling people. Now we need to empower them. And that's where the teachings comes into play, right? And so our focus is going to be primarily the teaching of our way of life, right? Right now we're building a school. And the school is under construction. It's been about 5 weeks now that we're building, because our lodge got too small real quick. Right? And so now we're working on the second phase, and that's the school part. And so by springtime, our school should be ready to go. And that's where we can spend, and that's where a lot more people will be coming in to teach this way of life, right? So that people will understand these things. Because it's really not a mystery. There's no mystery to this at all. In the natural world, they think that there's something magical inside of that pussy willow that helps to take care of headaches, right? And they created aspirin out of it.
Yep.
That's the same medicine.
Natural aspirin.
That they created bear aspirin or Tylenol or all of those painkillers they got out there. That's it right there. That's what it looks like.
The road from you.
So they think there's something magical in that that cures them of that. And there's nothing in there. The magic comes from your belief. You're the one that empowers that medicine to do the job that it needs to do. And so in our way of life, that's why they tell us again in our teachings to whatever disease there is out there, to sickness, there's a cure for it. In the mainstream world, you don't get that message. You get that you're going to be a diabetic for the rest of your life, so just get used to that and start taking this. Your metformin is going to eventually turn into insulin. Insulin is eventually going to start to affect your kidneys. You're probably going to need dialysis. You're probably going to get amputations, blah, blah. It doesn't look too good, right? That's what we're taught in that world. But in our world, they're like, no, you're not going to be a diabetic for the rest of your life. But that's your choice, though. Right? It's your choice what you want to do about that. But you can. And you can cure yourself of cancer. Right? And you can cure yourself of COVID. Mm-hmm. That is the way our system works. That there's a cure for everything that we've been given. Everything. No matter what they call that disease, there's a cure for it. But one of the things we're also told is just when how Creator created the birds, the food for the birds, right? But he didn't put it in their nests. Right? So it becomes our responsibility to look for that cure. And everybody is different. And one thing, medicine might work for one person, but it doesn't work for the other person, right? So you have to find that out. That's part of your journey. That's that healing journey that you get on when you want to help yourself. Because Creator will help those that help themselves. And that's the truth.
Well, within our medicines that, you know, we work to the spirits of the medicine to you. But in the white world with the capsules, they just put it in capsule form and they give it to you and said, this is what's going to help you. It may help you a little bit, but it not in the long term. It's not something that's going to correct your body of the disease. And then you get on it and on it and on it, and then you're getting worse. Then you got to give it this other pill to use because you might have something against it. So people get sick of that. So they want to come to traditional medicine because the way we work is they give us tobacco and then we offer it to the medicines. And then that medicine knows who is going to doctor. And so it gives up its life to cure you. So you may have to use it a few times to get that cure, but then it'll subside. Then you don't need it anymore. So those are the difference within the Western world. It's like you could go to the hospital, you can get examined, and they say, your body's in perfect shape, your high blood pressure, all your things are going good, but it might be in your head or something. So they send you home. They say, I don't find nothing wrong with you. So then when you come to us, we direct you to the spirit leader, which is the psychic individual. When he looks at you, he talks to your spirit, and he asks, what's wrong with you? It'll tell him, and then he meditates with that, and then he'll tell you where you need to go and what to do to get that corrected. So that's the different parts that they don't practice in the white system.
One of the things, the biggest difference between our medicine and modern medicine as we've come to know it is the tobacco that's given put down first, right? Because it's that appreciation of that, that medicine's life, right? That we're taking that life, but we're not going to waste it. And so when he puts down tobacco, mm-hmm. and he talks to that medicine,
yeah.
he tells that medicine why we're there and who you're going to help. And also he reminds them that this is the agreement that you made with Creator, that you would give up your life when one of his children were in need of it, right? And so he reminds them of that too. And he offers that. And then he instructs you. You know the example I used with you coming to help me? Well, now he's going to instruct that medicine, because all medicines are multi-purpose. You can, there, it's not just one, that's not just an aspirin, right? It can be used for different things, just like us human mm-hmm. beings. We can be used for different things, right? I can run this healing lodge, or I can be a grandmother, or I can be a mother, or I can be a ceremonial person. I have different purposes, right? Mm-hmm. I have different functions that I can perform. So when you ask to come ask for my help, well, what do you want help with then? What do you want me to be, a grandmother to you? I can do that. You want me to be a ceremonial person to you? What is it? What are you? Why are you giving me this tobacco? Like, what do you want me to do? That's what he does. So when he puts that tobacco down, he instructs that tobacco. Then he's going to say, then it's going to go to, let's say it's for you, right? And then he's going to use your name so that that medicine is going to know that it's coming to you. And that's a reason why they say in our naming process that everybody has their own name. You don't duplicate names, so that when he's doing that part, the spirit of that, let's just say it's burdock, the spirit of that burdock is going to know you by your name, and it's going to know that it's coming to help you, only you. But if you had, let's say, Ganyet Duguas, and there's five other Ganyet Duguas here, right? It doesn't know which one to go to. So that's another reason why in our naming ceremony that they're very particular that you are the only person. You don't duplicate names. That's one of the reasons why mm-hmm. in this instance, right? So that medicine will recognize you and it'll come to help you. And so then also he gives thanks too mm-hmm. for your life. You're giving up your life for Sarah, right? This is going to be the gift I'm going to give you. And this gift is what you requested, because it's the most revered gift that you could receive. So this is what we're going to give you, because that's how much we value your life. So I'm going to put this tobacco down for you in exchange for your life, right? And so all of that is so important, because if you imagine yourself being treated like that with such kindness and compassion, aren't you more than willing to come and help? But if I just yanked you out of the ground, and what do you think of the rest of your family and they're watching? So if you imagine this in a real life situation, and I go to your family gathering and I just yank you right out of the crowd, what do you think the rest of your family is going to do, right? So don't think that the rest of that family, that burdock family, is not watching. They're going to be resistant in helping you in the future, because they're going to carry anger. So if you imagine if I just kidnapped you and then I go back a year later and ask your mother, can you come and help me? She's not going to be too helpful, right? Actually, she's going to be angry, and she probably will become hurtful towards me. Mm-hmm. So that's the way our medicine works too. Yeah. And so that's why that part is so important, that this is how we treat the natural world. We treat them with respect. And when we treat them like that, then they'll give us that. That's why I said it's not nothing magical in there. It's what how we treat them is the way they're going to treat us. So that's very important. And so those medicines, so they learned, the outside world learned that, oh yeah, you can extract the enzyme in here and turn it into aspirin, right? Yeah, you can do that. But you're missing all of that spiritual part. That's why that if you treat that with respect, that will cure you of your illness. And so you can take it as a medicine for aspirin. You can buy that at Walmart, but it's only going to have a short-term effect for you. We're not talking about cures. We're just talking about instant relief in the moment, right? In our way, we're talking about cures. To cure you of that disease. Not just to put a Band-Aid on and let it subside for a minute. That's not what our way is about, right? So that's the huge difference between the two worlds, right? Is what we do in order to make sure that we treat the natural world with respect.
As Della will discuss, there are many challenges and barriers that traditional healers face today. She mentions that the loss of connection to traditional ways of living, people claiming to be healers who do not have the teachings or traditional knowledge, and skepticism are three major challenges that her and Eddie often encounter. These challenges significantly influence traditional healing. However, we still see authentic healers such as Della and Eddie who are working to break down these barriers and promote the correct way of traditional healing.
And what I see and what I've come across is a lot of people trying to be traditional practitioners and claiming to be traditional practitioners when they're really not. And they can become very hurtful and dangerous to people. And because people are very vulnerable when they're asking for help, it's very easy to convince them that you are what you're proclaiming to be, right? And that is not good. And so I refer to those people as charlatans. People trying to be something that they're not. And so we've come across a lot of that. And we've had to fix a lot of that. Because it opens up doorways to the dark side that they have no idea how to close. And so that scares me. It really scares me. Because there is so much of that, and the computer, the internet, has opened that door. And so a lot of people are trying to be medicine people. So rather than spending years of their life just mentoring him and learning from him, they just go on the computer and ask Dr. Google. And of course it gives you stuff on there, right? You can get anything on there. But it doesn't give you all the protocol. It doesn't give you the mindset to be able to work with medicines. Because the criteria to be a medicine person, the very first thing is you have to carry a good mind. You can't learn that on Google. That's something that Sugwan Diesel has already given you. That's why I say these people are already chosen by Creator. And they're already here. We just need to find them. You cannot go to some kind of healing school, which actually I was offered to do way back in my career. And I said, no. That goes totally against our way of life. I don't want any part of that, right? So this is something that people don't understand, because somehow or another, the work we do, the professional practitioners have become glorified. And now everybody wants to be a healer or a seer or a medicine person, right? I don't understand where that happened and why it happened, but that's the reality of it today, right? And so we have a lot of people that are putting up their hut and saying, I'm a healer, right? One of the things I do know from working in this field for so many years is that healers, authentic, so there's a difference. Authentic healers or seers or medicine people will not even tell you that that's what they are. They will not advertise themselves at all. And so everybody that works here, I've had to seek them out. And it wasn't actually even me, myself, either seeking them out. It was Creator putting me on their path. And to recognize that, to say, wow, there's something about this person, right? Let me kind of figure this out, right? And so Creator has put our paths together like that to meet each other. They didn't send me a resume and say, hey, Della, can you hire me? This is what I can. They did not do that at all. And so there's a difference between that. And because there's a humility that they carry. And there is a humbleness about them. And one of the things that they will not ever forget is that they're not doing the actual work. Creator is doing the work. And so I've heard them say many times to our healers or to our seers, right? Oh, thank you, thank you. They're like, don't thank me. Thank Creator. You see, and even that word healer, the English word takes away and it gives the credit to that person, right? And so, oh, it is so magical and powerful, right? And that word healer, he can heal me. No, he can't. He has the ability to talk to the spirit world, though, and ask the spirit world to come and help you. So I tried to change that word to helper. But it caused too much confusion. And people didn't understand. And then it required a whole long explanation of how I'm explaining it right now. Just to use the word helper. Like, what do you mean? So they're not really the healer. They're just the helper. Where's the healer then? I want to talk to the healer. Well, no, that is. But he's a helper. Right? Mm-hmm. And they couldn't understand that at all. Because they've been so influenced from the outside world. Right? So I couldn't use that word, but that is the truest word to what they do, is we are all helpers and Creator is the healer. Right? And so that part, and so when people forget Creator and they'll say, come on, I can heal you, I can do this, I can do that, I'd say, walk away. Because that's not an authentic person. And so that is scary. And the other challenge in this is people's non-belief of what the power that can happen, right? They don't believe it to be true. Which again is a natural thing for our people, especially for Mohawk people, at least I know for sure, yeah. Is we're very skeptical right from the get-go, right? And another good example of that is when Peacemaker first came here. What did we try to do to Peacemaker? I don't know if you know that part of the story, or in the creation story when they said that, or in the Aganlekoa, is when they said that when he first came, he asked that man, take me to the baddest people there is. And he took them to the Mohawk community. And he said, because if I can convince them to accept these words of peace, then I can convince everybody else, right? And so when he brought him to our village, the first thing they tried to do is to kill him. And in that recital, they tried over and over to kill Peacemaker. And every time they tried, they had a failed attempt, they started to think, maybe he is who he's saying he is, right? But they didn't really believe it again until they finally took him to what they call Coho's Falls today, right? And they made him climb that tree, and they say that tree is about 200 feet high, and the cliff was about another 200 feet down, right? And they made him climb that tree, and they chopped that tree down. And that Peacemaker fell into that, down that cliff. And so they waited and waited for him to appear, and he didn't. So eventually, one by one, they all started to go back home. The next day, there was Peacemaker again. That was what finally got them to accept that he is who he is. Okay, now come into our village. Now we're going to listen to you. But Peacemaker had was tried to be killed so many times, right from when he was born.
Right.
He was. They were trying to kill him, right? And so that's human nature. That's the way we are. So we don't believe. But one of the things that we need in this way of life is our belief. We need to believe. If I believe whatever is in this cup can cure me of cancer, it's going to cure me of cancer. Doesn't matter what's in this cup. Could be Kool-Aid, right? If it's going to cure me of cancer, and I believe strongly enough, and I put all my faith into that, that's what's going to happen. See, it's the mind. The mind is where the power is at. And so that's a challenge when you can't put your mind there because you have all of these fears that have been placed there from the outside world, right? And so when you can't break through that fear, so if you think of a person that's been diagnosed with cancer and they have all of this fear, this energy is so thick and you can't break through that, we can't get to that mindset to get them to believe that this is going to work for them. But if we can, then we have a different story on our hands, right? And we got examples of that too. So it all becomes that belief, right? And so when people don't truly believe, and in our stories they tell us there's three groups of people, huh? What are they, Edmund?
The three group of people?
Yeah.
The dark.
No, in Galileo and the believers.
Oh. Yeah.
So they say you
it's
have
the biggest crowd are the non-believers. And then the smaller crowd is a half-believer. And then the smallest group of traditional leaders are the truly believers.
Yeah.
The rest are just glorified. I'm traditional, I'm warrior, all this stuff, which they're not, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it becomes the power is in the mind,
yeah.
Right? And so that's why in anything when we're working with, we got to work with the mind first. Because that's where the power is at. Right? So emotions is energy in motion. But it comes from here, right? Your thoughts will trigger your emotions. And that's what gets everything started and revved up, right? And so if your thought is fear, then that's the energy you're creating. And it's very hard to break through fear. That's a process in itself, right? To break somebody of fear. So, yeah. So those, to me, are the two biggest things, biggest challenges we have in today's world.
In spite of these limitations and challenges, traditional healing continues to thrive and evolve. The work that Della and Eddie have done and the work they are continuing to do has been instrumental in our community's healing. They strive to promote and preserve traditional healing and knowledge and to help those in need. The Heal Lodge has become such an important resource to members from the community of Okazusne, but those outside the territory as well. I am excited to see how the lodge continues to flourish and how reconnecting to traditional ways benefits the community. I want to say a huge Nyawakoa thank you very much to all who helped make this project a success. Nyawakoa to Della Adams and Eddie Gray for their time and sharing their knowledge. Also to my supervisor Brenda McDougall and psychotherapist Joanne Buckshot for all of their help and guidance throughout this project. I am extremely grateful to have had this opportunity to focus on an area that interests me and to work with all of these amazing people. Nyawa, thank you for listening. Onegiwahe. Goodbye for now.